call to order of the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency's Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board today, Wednesday, May 13, 2020 at 2 p.m. The first, I would like to please note the pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order number 20-69, fiscal year 20, LCB, by laws section 10 and TPA emergency order number 2020-01, this meeting is being conducted without having a quorum of its members present physically or at any specific location and utilizing communications media technology instead. For today's meeting, we are utilizing the Zoom webinar platform. Board members, scheduled presenters, and the TPA's board liaison will be appearing at today's meeting remotely either via webcam or telephone. Board members, please note that your microphones are initially set on mute. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function within the Zoom platform. You should unmute your microphone when you are recognized. Members of the public can join the meeting by installing the free Zoom app and entering the webinar ID and password provided on the agenda. You can also join via web browser at the website provided in the agenda. You can watch a live stream of the meeting at www.palmbeachtpa.org/live. Finally, you can join by phone using the phone number, webinar ID, and password provided on the agenda. Public comments can be submitted online at the website provided in item 1.h on the agenda. Public comments can also be made live through the Zoom webinar platform. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function within the Zoom platform and then wait to be recognized by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. Now we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. Please put your right hand over your heart and join with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Next, we will have a roll call.
Mayor Grant, before I start the roll, I do see that Millery joined as an attendee. I'm just going to promote her to a panelist.
All right.
And I will be unmuting all. That way, it's easier for you to say here on the roll call.
For the roll call, that sounds good.
And if you are muted on a physical phone, please make sure you unmute your phone. So, Mayor Grant.
Here.
Tomas Boynton. Angela Choice. Janine Chrisman.
Here.
Elisa Kramer.
Here.
Elsa DeGoy.
Here.
Marie Dorsman. And I believe we have Nancy on. I'm sorry, not Nancy. We should be having somebody here for.
Yes, yes. Paula Scott is here for Marie.
Mm-hmm. Robert Goodman. Maria Hernandez.
Here.
Robin Manuel.
Here.
Angela Morlock.
Here.
David Rafaitis.
Present.
Merlene Ramnock. Takesha Safran.
Present.
Laura Schultz.
Here.
Millery Sanat.
Here.
Nancy Arnell.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for all. Our first is to adopt. Can I adopt the agenda for May 13th? Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Also move to adopt the agenda.
We have a motion by Angela Morlock.
I'll second the motion.
Second.
And then we have a second by Jeannie Chrisman. All in favor, please state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, state so by saying nay. Hearing none, the motion is approved unanimously. Next, we need a motion to approve the minutes for February 12th, 2020. Are there any changes to the minutes?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right, seeing none, if I can have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented.
Motion to adopt.
I have a motion by David Rafaitis.
I'll second the motion.
And
Angie Morlock.
Thank you. I have a second by Angie Morlock. All those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Comments from the chair. I'd like to thank everyone for your attendance and everyone that was able to participate in our review and survey of the Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating PalmTran connection. The news with me is that me and my wife had a daughter 6 weeks ago, and so we've been very busy, and unfortunately I was not able to contribute, but I look forward to a report on everyone that who has. And those are my comments. And next we'll invite Alyssa to review the liaison's report.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see everyone's faces or hear everyone's voices if I can't see your face. So for the liaison's report, I'm happy to say that AARP Community Challenge Grants, they actually have extended their deadline to fund quick action projects that help create livable communities for people of all ages. The deadline has now been extended until May 15th, and for more information, their website is linked. The May TPA Governing Board meeting will be held on Thursday, May 21st at 9 a.m. The final notice of the meeting location will be available with the distribution of the packet. The meeting will be held over Zoom also, and that information will be available on our website. And lastly, the LCB is currently looking for member presentations. Member presentations are encouraged to be 5 to 10 minutes, and on how their agency and everyday work relates to the Transportation Disadvantaged Board. If you do want to come in present at a future meeting, please contact me and we will put you on the agenda. That is it.
All right. Thank you. And next we have a new member introduction. Welcome to Nancy Yarnell, newly appointed representative for the Area Agency on Aging. Nancy, please introduce yourself and provide us with a brief background.
Thank you. I'm Nancy Yarno. I'm the Director of Consumer Care and Planning at the Area Agency on Aging in Palm Beach, Treasure Coast. I've been there over 15 years. And we administer state and federal programs that provide services to enable seniors in an actual 5-county area to remain in their homes and avoid nursing home placement. I also serve as a planner. I work with the Palm Beach County Community Services, the Departments of Health, and United Way initiatives, supplying information and demographics on seniors and their needs. And I appreciate this opportunity to participate on this board.
All right. Thank you so much. Our next is a general public comment. March 8, do we receive any public comment cards?
We haven't received any general public comments at this time, and I'm just double-checking the attendees, and we don't have anyone with their hand raised.
Okay, so anyone who is listening that is an attendee that would like to raise a question or make a comment, I'll give you 10 seconds to raise your hand according to the Zoom function. All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to action items. The first action item is motion to elect fiscal year 2021 vice chair. Pursuant to the LCB bylaws, Article 4, Section C, the LCB shall hold an organizational meeting each year for the purpose of electing a vice chair. The vice chair shall be elected by majority vote of a quorum of the members of the LCB present and voting at the organizational meeting. The vice chair shall serve a term of 1 year starting with the next meeting. The vice chair shall assume the powers and duties of the chair in his or her absence. The vice chair may serve more than one term. All right. Are there any nominations?
I will unmute all. That way they're able to make their nomination.
And so I saw a hand raised by Angie.
Okay. I move to elect David again as vice chair.
All right.
I don't have his last name right now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Do we have any other nominations? If not, and seeing none, may I have a vote? All in favor, please state so by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Hearing none, welcome David Rafaitis to continue his role as our vice chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have item B is motion to adopt the fiscal year 20 LCB bylaws as amended. The addition of Article 10 entitled Emergency Powers has been added to the attached draft bylaws to allow the LCB to conduct virtual meetings when permitted during an emergency and to authorize the chair to approve and or amend certain essential LCB documents when the TPA is unable to conduct a board meeting in person or virtually. These changes are shown in red strike-through underline format attached. Alyssa, would you like to present this item?
Alyssa, you are muted. You would need to unmute yourself. I'm sorry.
Sorry. A lot of things going on. So the purpose of this update, like what the chair said, is to allow meetings to be conducted virtually via Zoom platform or something similar. So the updates that you will see in the coming slides do make sure that that happens. And this update does repeal previously adopted bylaws. So Article 2A under definitions, the update added the term communications media technology, the electronic transmission of printed matter, telephone, audio, computer, full motion video, freeze frame video, compressed video, digital video by any method. So Zoom. Article 5, Section G, addressed the quorum. It did also clean up the language in this section a little bit, as at a previous meeting there were discussions what the quorum is and what the number is for voting. So at all meetings of this board, the presence in person of at least one third of the voting members is necessary to make any voting or business transaction. However, a meeting can be held with three voting members present, just no voting. That is unless the TPA is operating under Article 10, Emergency Powers, in which case it's online. Article 6, Section A, General, changed the wording. When we did the last update, we were still part of the county. Now the TPA is an independent agency, so the wording got changed from the Palm Beach County Board of County Commissioners through the TPA to just the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency is the designated official planning agency and provides staff to the LCB. Article 10, we added this entire section for emergency powers. Section A is the applicability, so in the event that an emergency prevents the TPA from conducting an LCB meeting, consistent with the bylaws, the following emergency powers are established. Virtual meetings, the TPA is permitted by law, executive order, or similar action to conduct a meeting with a quorum of the LCB and establishes it virtually. The TPA shall conduct these meetings utilizing communications media technology or the Zoom platform. Section B, again, is more about the virtual meetings, so we still need to continue doing public notice as consistent with Article 5, Section F, and the state law, and we shall include instructions to access the public meeting in all notices. And the public meeting shall provide the opportunity for a public comment, and all comments, evidence, testimony, and written submissions shall be afforded equal consideration. We have been providing an online link on our website to permit public comments for every meeting that we do. Emergency approvals. In the event that the TPA is not able to conduct a board meeting consistent with these operating procedures or using a Zoom or other communication platform, the LCB is required to take an immediate action on approving or amending one of the essential documents like the TDSB, CTC evaluation, bylaws, grievance procedures, AOR, the TPA chair or vice chair in the absence of the chair, upon consultation with the executive director and TPA general counsel, is hereby authorized to approve or amend the essential document and or execute the implementing agreement or application on behalf of the LCB. So if we can't vote on something for some reason, the TPA chair or our executive director can make that final call and decision. And again, the executive director is authorized to submit any documents approved under this emergency authority to the commission as necessary, along with documentation of the TPA's inability to conduct an LCB meeting consistent with the bylaws or using Zoom or other platform. Any document approved under this emergency authority shall be presented to the LCB at the next meeting for endorsement or modification, provided the action is taken using the emergency authority and is able to be modified, which most of our documents are able to be modified. The changes under amendment was, since we inserted a new article for Article 10, it was just changing the number to 11 from 10, and that section stayed the same for general. And then the same thing with certification, that was previously Article 11, and that is now Article 12. And this is just going to be certifying that everything in the bylaws is correct. And if we adopt this today, this will be signed and put into effect. So that is the bylaw update.
So Margie, has any one of our participants, panelists, I'm sorry, raised their hands, has any comments?
I don't see any hands raised.
All right. But if you want to unmute.
Oh, Angie has her hand raised.
All right, Angie, do you have any questions for staff?
It's more of a comment or whatever. And I assume that these changes to the bylaws are the same throughout the state. Are they coming more from the commission? The wording and the structure.
So the changes to the bylaws were not directly from the commission. They actually reflect the bylaws or the operating procedures that the TPA had to adopt in order to hold the other meetings that we hold. So the committee meetings and the governing board meeting. They were changed. All of those committees and the board do follow the same operating guidelines now, whereas ours still reflect what the commission requires us to reflect and meets the operating guidelines requirements for the LCB and the commission. But the wording does not directly reflect it, no.
So in April, the TPA adopted amendments to their bylaws in order to have the virtual meetings. So we're and so that's kind of like we have the ability to start the meeting under the executive order. But if we don't change our bylaws to allow it, it's kind of not giving it the same credence. And that's why we need to adopt as amended. The TPA also has legal counsel that reviews this amendment, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's kind of where all the language is coming from, not necessarily from the Tallahassee with controlled by the state. And Margie, are there any questions from any of our attendees?
I don't have any public comments on this one.
All right. Is there any other questions from the board? Seeing no one to raise their hand or no one speaking, may I have a motion to adopt the amended bylaws?
And I will unmute all, so it's just a little bit easier for everyone to vote.
I'll make a motion to adopt the amended bylaws.
I second it.
All right,
Jeannie, seconded by Takesha.
All right, and do you need a roll call for this?
Yes, for the bylaws?
Okay. So seeing no further discussion, we need everyone to unmute, and we will have a roll call vote. If you'd like to begin.
Mayor Grant?
Yes.
Tomas Boynton. Angela Choice. Janie Christman.
Yes.
Elisa Kramer.
Yes.
Elsa DeGroy.
Yes.
Marie Dorsman. Oh, I'm sorry. Paula Scott.
Yes.
Robert Goodman. Maria Hernandez?
Yes.
Robin Manuel?
Yes.
Angela Morlock?
Yes.
David Rafaitis?
Yes.
Merlene Ramnon?
Yes.
Takesha Saffold?
Yes.
Laura Schultz?
Yes.
Millery Sanat?
Yes.
And Nancy Yarnell?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Our next action item is to motion to approve an amendment to the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan.
And for this one, Mr. Chair, we will be having Lou Ferrari from PalmTran present this.
All right. And can we make sure to mute everyone else's yes. microphone?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lou Ferrari. I also have Chad Hockman here with me. So this is a motion to ask the board to for an amendment to the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan to add language, as you see on the screen there, to for an objective to replace paratransit vehicles that have lived their life. So the background of this one is in 2014, the county got a bond to purchase upwards to $17 million worth of vehicles, which is pretty much the fleet we have right now for PalmTran Connection. FDOT says that the useful life is 200,000 miles or 5 years, and most of our vehicles have got there, if not exceeded it. So the FDOT 5310 grant, actually FDOT this year found about close to $900,000 that we can use to get some replacement vehicles for PalmTran Connection. So instead of using county money, we're also looking at different grants to use to purchase new vehicles. So this just allows us to have it in our plan to allow us to say, look, it's in our plan to replace the vehicles. So that's pretty much it. If anyone has any questions, I'm here to answer them.
We normally use...
I'm sorry, you were muted, so I unmuted you.
Okay, thank you. Lou, thank you for the presentation. My question regarding the replacement vehicles, are they going to be the same vehicles that were previously in service? Just newer models?
Yeah, they're called cutaways. So the six passenger two, it's just a different company that we purchased from before. But yes, the same type of cutaway vehicles. Although we are diversifying the fleet, we did find some grant money as well as some county funds that we'll be using. We bought some minivans as well as some different kind of cutaways. So some different configurations within them. So pretty much the same kind of vehicle.
Okay, and I know that we have third-party drivers for PalmTran Connection. Are these vehicles going to be maintained at, the PalmTran facilities or our third-party vendor facilities?
So we have a provider contract with both First Transit and NV, mm-hmm. and part of that contract, they do the maintenance. They're in charge of the maintenance, and they've allocated funds through the procurement of this contract to pay for the maintenance of these vehicles. They've done an excellent job holding them together for longer than this useful life, so we appreciate that.
Okay, and those were my two questions. So I'll ask anyone if they'd like to raise their hand, or we have Angie Morlock raising her hand.
Again.
Yes.
Under the service plan, because of the conditions that are going on, are we purchasing anything for the drivers, for the companies, buy a mask or cleaners, extra cleaners for the vehicles to disinfect them? Is that already in the budget? Are we not doing that at all? Is it up to the providers?
We were going to cover that in the CTC update. It's up to the chair if we want to go through that now, or we could do it after.
No, you could, whenever.
We'll wait. Thank you. Okay. All right. Is there any other questions or comments from the board?
I do not see any other hands raised or public comments on this matter.
I appreciate that, Margie. And so now I'll ask for a motion to approve the amendment to the disadvantaged service plan.
It's Jeannie Crispin. I'll move to buy the buses.
All right. Thank you.
I'll second the move.
All right. We have a motion by Jeannie and a second by Angie. Any further discussion from the board? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. This is a roll call vote call? Is required.
Okay.
Just to make sure it's on the record.
Thank you. All right. Cool. So may I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Grant?
Yes.
Tomas Boynton? Angela Choice? And let me see, because Angela, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, now I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Jeannie Christman?
Yes.
Elisa Kramer?
Yes.
Elsa DeGoy?
Yes.
Paula Scott?
Yes.
Robert Goodman? Maria Hernandez?
Yes.
Robin Manuel?
Yes.
Angie Morlock?
Yes.
David Rafaitis?
Yes.
Marlene Ramnon?
Yes.
Takesha Saffold?
Yes.
Laura Schultz?
Yes.
Mallory Sinnott?
Yes.
Nancy Arnell?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. And that concludes our action items. Our next item is informational items, Florida Transportation Plan update. FDOT will present on the Florida Transportation Plan 2020 update. The FTP sets the long-range vision for Florida's transportation future and guides transportation decisions making by providing policy guidance and a framework for allocating the state and federal transportation funds which flow through FDOT's five-year work program. For more information, visit floridatransportationplan.com.
I'm sorry, Ms. Mayor, to interrupt you. I have an item 2D on this agenda. I'm not sure if it was missed on
it was missed on me. My fault. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's also a roll call vote. So item 2D is motion to approve the 2019-2020 Community Transportation Coordinator CTC evaluation. Annually, the LCB is required by the Florida Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage to review the CTC's performance and complete the evaluation workbook. TPA staff will review the attached executive summary. The full evaluation workbook is available at palmbeachtpa.org/LCB. Alyssa, would you like to present this item?
Yes. So, first of all, thank you everyone who did help out with the CTC evaluation. We got a lot of really good information, and I'm very excited to share it with everyone. So, we will go over the findings and the overview from the evaluation and the next steps in the process. So, the evaluation overview is prescribed by the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged. They give us a workbook and we have to complete it. And the workbook includes everything that you see on the screen. So general questions about Chapter 427, Rule 41-2, insurance, commission standards, local standards, ADA compliance, on-site observation of the system, surveys, the level of cost, level of competition, and level of coordination. So it's a very in-depth survey of the system. So right now we will go over the key findings. For general questions, under key findings, we found that there was a thorough complaint process. Clients are notified when the complaint is received and again when it's resolved. Clients can also contact the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged if they are not satisfied after the complaint resolution. The recommendation for this item is while a summary of complaints is currently provided to the LCB in a bar chart format, it's recommended that a brief written summary of complaints is received, the complaints received accompanies the chart and can be discussed at each quarterly meeting. So the board is aware of all of the complaints that are coming in, if any. Next, another finding is the CTC is interested in coordinating with PalmTrans Fixed Route and TriRail to transfer riders from paratransit onto a fixed route transportation service. The CTC should hold trainings quarterly or as needed to encourage and teach their riders a better understanding of how to flex between the paratransit and transition onto a fixed route service like the bus service or tri-rail from paratransit. The last key finding under general questions was that users of paratransit need to know how to access that fixed route, similar to the last key finding. The CTC currently offers a fixed route guide for ADA-eligible riders and is trying to transition riders who are capable to ride fixed route to do so. The recommendation for this item is for the CTC to develop a video education program to inform riders how to transition into that service or the fixed route service, and to have this program air on social media, websites, and even in the lobby of Connections so that anyone who is around the service is seeing the advertisements and the video on learning how to transition into the other program or other transit route. For Chapter 427.055 Florida statutes, the findings are school buses are not currently being utilized in the coordinated system due to similar peak times. Charter and private schools oftentimes rely on paratransit services to get to and from school. The recommendation was, if possible, to work with the school district of Palm Beach County to utilize school buses. And again, if possible, to develop an agreement with charter and private schools to subsidize the costs for paratransit services being provided to the students. Another key finding is that PalmTran Connection uses an interactive voice recognition software after hours to confirm or cancel trips the night prior to when the trip is scheduled. This automated software helps PalmTran Connection to keep track of whether trips for the next day are still on as scheduled. Connection should confirm that clients' correct contact information is in the file before scheduling the trip. Recommendation for this is for the CTC to continue using this IVR technology to confirm scheduled trips and should use the technology to call the client when the ride is 15 minutes out from the pickup location. Again, the CTC or PalmTran Connection should ensure that all client contact information is accurate in their accounts. Another key finding, TD service is not available on 7 holidays throughout the year. The recommendation, the TD holiday schedule follows the fixed route schedule, and the CTC should consider providing paratransit and holiday route service on or and fixed route service on holidays. This is changing in the upcoming year. I'm not sure about the date now with everything going on in our current situation. The last key finding under this chapter is there is not currently an agreement with the local wages coalition through CareerSource Palm Beach County, and the recommendation is to work cooperatively with CareerSource Palm Beach County to provide clients with transportation services. For local standards, through our surveys, we found that PalmTran Connection is meeting the goals of having passenger no-shows below 5% of their trips. The average age of the entire fleet is 4 years and 5 months. An at-fault accident goal of less than one accident per 100,000 miles traveled is being met, as well as 25% of the TD riders are transitioning to fixed route services. PalmTran Connection is not meeting the following goals. Those are having a call hold time under 3 minutes. The average was 3 minutes and 26 seconds. On-time performance goal of being 90%. And on-time performance by appointment goal of meeting 93%. Additionally, the complaint ratio of less than 3 complaints per 10,000 trips performed. Those are all currently not being met. So the recommendations for this chapter are the CTC's Office of Performance Management should continue to evaluate current measurable goals and develop a strategic plan to achieve them. For example, increasing the average on-time performance standards, decreasing the amounts of complaints, and getting able-bodied users of Connection to transition. And there should be a way to evaluate and measure each of those goals. So again, I want to thank everyone who did help out with the evaluation. Together, we were able to capture 233 surveys from riders. So I will go through some of the passenger surveys. One of the questions that is asked is, were you charged an amount in addition to the co-payment? Majority of riders, 89.18%, said no, I was not charged in addition to the $3.50. 3% said yes, and 7% said other. Because of the current situation, they were very similar answers. some of the complaints where I gave four, or not complaints, but some of the findings where I gave $4 and did not receive my change for 50 cents. And another one was not charged due to COVID-19. So something that we do need to remember and keep in mind when we go through the rest of these survey questions is that this year we did the survey from February through April. So unfortunately, we will be seeing a lot of stuff that is altered to what it would be due to COVID-19. How often do you normally obtain transportation? We found that majority of the surveyed users that we spoke to receive transportation 3 to 5 times a week, and that is 43%, followed by 1 to 2 times a week at 23%, with only 14% of the riders surveyed using the service 7 days a week. When asked how many times they have been refused services in the last 6 months, we found that most of people, over 90% of the respondents, have not been refused services in the past 6 months. There are some that have been received 3 to 5 times, 6 to 10 times, but very minimal amounts. And those trips, again, were because essential trips only, and respondents said that laundromat wasn't considered essential, not enough drivers due to things going on, and unexpected vehicle complications. So what do the riders normally use the service for? Majority medical, but we also found that a good amount of riders use PalmTran Connection for education, training, daycare, followed by employment, life-sustaining activities, and lastly, nutritional. When asked if they had an issue with their last trip, we found that most people did not have an issue with their last trip. Others that had it because of late arrivals, driver issues, and late pickups. There were a couple other issues, again, related to COVID, and not being able to go to specific locations due to essential trips only, but majority found no issues with the ride, which is great. So key findings for passenger surveys. We called riders who had ridden since January 1st, 2020. We did not call any riders who had not received service prior to this year, or have not received service in this year. We completed 370 random phone calls throughout the months of February, March, and April, and this was done by LCB members and TPA staff, and we received a total of 42 responses. Because of this and the difficulty we were having reaching people over the phone and the current situation, we were actually able to send out the same survey via SurveyMonkey to over 900 PalmTran Connection clients. And I'm happy we did, because we received over 190 responses. So this gave us a total, again, of 233 responses. The average rating for PalmTran is an 8.41 based on the survey responses, which is actually a 1.23 decrease from the last CTC evaluation we did 2 years ago. We need to remember we didn't do it last year because there was text in the legislature not permitting us to. So recommendations based on the passenger surveys include improving the trip optimization. We found that a lot of riders were on the bus and actually passing by their house just because of how the navigation system lays out the trips. So again, improve and update the GPS in vehicles. That way no one will have to be chasing after buses anymore. Providing a way that clients can know what their driver's estimated time of arrival is. Again, getting a 15-minute out call would help with that. Ensuring correct contact information in clients' files. We did find that some of the emails and phone numbers were incorrect. This could be client error or PalmTran error, but a good way would just be to help ensure that connection is, again, when they're scheduling the calls, ensuring that the contact information for that client is correct. And then implementing fare boxes so riders aren't required to carry exact change, so you're not losing that 50 cents. And then improving transfers between counties. So At the end of the survey, we did ask for some additional feedback and provided a space for the clients to type in their own answer or give the LCB members responses, and they typed it out. So some of the elements of the service that need work that we found from responses are included, and they are drivers need training for working with individuals on the spectrum. Drivers should be screened for sensitivity to the elderly and other populations. I have had to run beside the bus to get it to stop to pick up my mother. Sometimes they cancel my trip without my consent. For example, Saturday, March 18th, 2020, I called and canceled the service for that day. However, the bus showed up and my next day appointment was canceled. Drivers are helpful. Sometimes they can't find my house. Better communication between driver and rider would be beneficial. Drivers say they do not have to do the call to the rider when they're at the pickup point, but the riders would like to be able to help talk the drivers through where their exact pickup location is. And then another issue with drivers taking home riders if events are canceled. So my sister has been on the bus for up to two hours. One day they left her at the Arc after an event was canceled and they should have taken her home, but left her in the dark building when no one was around. Positive feedback that we got from users were PumpTran is wonderful. I have nothing but good things to say about them. The drivers are always nice and helpful. Yes, there are a few times they will come late, but they always apologize to me, and most of the time it is because there was some issue going on with another customer. I love the service and I'm very thankful for it. This service means a lot to me. It helps me out with my daily livelihood and disabilities. Transportation, PumpTran Connection, is my only means of getting to doctors, groceries, and other shopping, visiting friends, getting to the library, all essential mobility. And then transportation gives me independence and freedom to live my best life. Although I feel like there are areas for improvement, I'm overall satisfied. So next steps for this evaluation. We reviewed the workbook. We will provide it to the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged. They will review it within 30 days, give it back to us, and then we will provide the status after that 30 days or another 30 days to PumpTran Connection, and they will provide updating reports for our findings at all upcoming LCB meetings for the next fiscal year.
All right.
That is the evaluation.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa.
You're welcome.
And now, was there any comments from public comments regarding this action item?
I have no public comments on this item, Chair.
All right. Thank you. Does any of the board have any questions or comments regarding this or would like to speak about their participation? Seeing none?
Chair, I just I wanted to give everyone else a chance. I do have Robert Goodman join the call during Alyssa's presentation. Robert, I will unmute you. I'm not sure if you had any comments or not. I see that you're just calling in.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, doing the survey was a real experience for me, and I see some of the things that I had got information I received were on the results. What I did find interesting was the people really appreciated the service overall. One person hung up on me thinking I was a spam call. But overall, it was an interesting survey to do. Interesting to talk to some of our users of PumpTran Connection. I know I had a call, Lou, one of the calls I made. It was a problem. But overall, it was people seemed very satisfied. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see a comment in the negative comments about drivers and identifying themselves. And that was a big one I found when I did my own run on the van, and also several people told me that drivers were not identifying themselves.
Right.
And the other issue that I found also was some of the drivers were parking too far away from the curb to let people off, and a car could possibly go by while they're using the lift.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry you can't see me. I don't have a camera.
That's all right. We heard you just fine.
Thanks.
Chairman, this is Elsa from Producers of Palm Beach County.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Congratulations on your new arrival. And I just want to ask question, if you could kindly repeat the Career Source participation. We would gladly support PalmTran and PalmTran Connect within this institute, but I would also like to see how we can collaborate further to make sure that whatever we're working with, you know, works out. Because I'm not sure exactly, if with this COVID meeting, or talk a little bit further with Lou and his team on how to support them further.
Okay. So, Alyssa, can you provide us with at our next meeting, an update of the TPA's discussion with Career Source?
Definitely. And also, we can definitely, all sit down and talk about it. And at the next LCB meeting, again, what we'll do is hopefully be able to provide updates at all of the upcoming meetings for fiscal year 21. And hopefully by the end of the year, have positive updates for all of those findings. But we will definitely work on it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I just want to make sure that we support in any way that we can. And I don't want to miss something.
Of course.
All right. Thank you.
Chair, I did have that Takesha unmuted herself. I'm not sure if she had a question, but I'm going to unmute her again.
Takesha, did you have a question?
No, I'm sorry.
No worries.
And then I have that Jeannie raised her hand.
Yes, I just want to point out, with MV Transportation, I'm the general manager of MV. We do work with Career Source quite a bit, especially in Belgrade. So there is some work being done with Career Source.
Thank you.
And I have that Elisa has her hand raised.
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations, Mayor Grant.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention I was able to call just a few of the customers, and feedback was overwhelmingly positive. One woman spoke about her son using the service, and that it was, just, I think her words were a godsend for her family. So it is very much appreciated. And if I would request, Alyssa, if we could receive a copy of the presentation, and thank you for presenting that information. But it looks like it was overall good feedback, and those items that could be improved are being worked on already. So that's good to see.
I will make note and send that all out to everyone.
All right. Thank you. All right. Is there any other comments, Margie?
I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay. May I have a, could you unmute everyone?
Mayor Grant?
Yes.
Oh, Mayor sorry. Grant?
Yes, Mr. Goodman.
Yeah. I don't know if you're just for additional comments, but I wanted to just let people know that my advocacy paid off, and the PalmTran has added an extra bus stop near Boca Regional Hospital. So my constant, we talk discussion of it at our meetings has paid off. So advocacy does pay.
All right. Well, thank you.
And just to remind you also, I will not be there in August because we're upstate New York.
All right. We will give you opportunity during member comments to speak about other items not pertaining to the CTC evaluation. So if there are no other comments on the CTC evaluation, may I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion that we approve.
I'll second it.
All right.
So on my screen, I had Takesha and Robert Goodman.
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Mayor Grant?
Yes.
Tomas Boyton? Angela Choice?
Yes.
Jeannie Christman?
Yes.
Elisa Kramer?
Yes.
Elsa DeGroy?
Yes.
Paula Scott?
Yes.
Robert Goodman?
Yes.
Maria Hernandez?
Yes.
Robin Manuel?
Yes.
Angela Morlock?
Yes.
David Rafaitis?
Yes.
Marlene Ramnod? I'm not sure.
I said yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marlene. Thank you. No, Takesha Saffold?
Yes.
Laura Schultz?
Yes.
Millery Sinnott?
Yes.
Nancy Yarnell?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And that, I believe that concludes our action items, and we can move on to information items. Is that correct, Margie?
Correct.
All right. So as I was mentioning, we have a presentation from FDOT, Kurt Lehman. Look forward to a presentation regarding the Florida's transportation plan.
Thank you. Yes, this is Kurt Lehman from Cambridge Systematics representing FDOT District 4. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the Florida Transportation Plan, or the FTP. My goal today is to inform you about the purpose of the FTP, why it matters, highlight some key trends, and most importantly, encourage you to provide some input, help shape the plan. So we'll get to that. Starting off with what is the Florida Transportation Plan? The FTP is the single, thank you. The FTP is a single overarching statewide plan guiding Florida's transportation future. It's a plan for all Florida created by and providing direction to FDOT and all organizations that are involved in planning and managing Florida's transportation system. That includes statewide, regional, and local partners. And the FTP provides policy guidance and establishes a policy framework for allocating some of the state and federal transportation funds that flow through the FDOT's five-year work program. Next slide, please. Thank you. The FTP is important because it not only sets a long-range vision for the future, but also guides transportation decision-making today. And the plan considers how we will accomplish some of our most ambitious goals, zero fatalities on Florida's transportation system, providing more efficient mobile transportation choices, enhancing the quality of life and environment of Florida's communities, et cetera. And one example of how FTPs have shaped transportation policy in Florida is the 2020 FTP back in 2000 led to the creation of the Strategic Intermodal System, which composes the state's largest and most strategic transportation facilities across all modes, across travel modes. So the FTP has been crucial in some of the policy that we've seen in Florida. And next slide, the current FTP, like the current FTP, the updated FTP will have three elements, although we are considering a fourth element. So this is like a pending slide, but the three elements that we've had are the vision element, which focuses on major trends, uncertainties, themes that will shape, transportation over a longer period. That's a 50-year horizon. The policy element is the heart of the FTP, and it looks for 25 years to match with the MPOs and establishes goals and objectives that will help guide the FDOT and our partners in making planning and investment decisions. And the implementation element will likely be centered around the cross-cutting topics with specific defined actions during the short and medium term. And so if we look at those seven goals, these goals mostly intact from the last update. And any refinements to them, such as, you know, there was one linking transportation choices to improvements in accessibility and equity. Those reflect input from our partners and the public. So all of your input is very helpful and it helps shape some of these goals. But, these goal areas are representative of the themes that have historically been highlighted in FTPs and consider emerging trends and technologies that are impacting the transportation system. Objectives identified for these goals often overlap goal areas. So this update will consider objectives and strategies within four cross-cutting topics to better align the objectives and strategies and provide clear direction for implementation. So those four cross-cutting topics on the next, These are potential areas to be covered. All these bullet points fall under the cross-cutting topics we have, which are technology, resilience, state and interregional, and regional and local. So for technology, we have things like big data, new materials, and automated, connected, electric, shared vehicles. Under resilience, we have extreme weather, we have climate change and sea level rise, but also economic and societal changes, which I think we've all realized that resilience goes beyond just weather. And when we experience emergencies like the one we're experiencing now, we have the need for, if the economic trends shift or societal, major societal changes, is our transportation system, you know, ready to handle those changes? State and interregional focus on CIS, trade and logistics, multi-use, multimodal facilities for economic competitiveness, things of that nature. Whereas we have a regional local cross-cutting topic, which focuses on our communities, land use and community planning, regional visions, environmental and economic, environmental impact and an economic development. And on, yes, here we have some infographics that come straight from our trends documents that we've produced for each one of these cross-cutting topics. I'm not going to go through all of these data graphics. They're very informative. They're very helpful. We've gotten good feedback from them. You can go to floridatransportationplan.com and access all these great documents that provide some of these infographics. Like under technology, we have obviously data and e-commerce, resilience. We have lots of weather changes that are going to impact our transportation system in the future. With state and interregional, we have our railways, our aviation, and our waterborne trade, our seaports. We have trends on that. And for regional local, we have all sorts, a whole host of demographic changes that are taking place, and we need to plan for the future for those. But moving forward, on the next slide, I'm going to ask to receive some of your input today. So this is really the main purpose of presenting to you today. We want to get as much input from all of our partners as possible. So if you could just stay on that slide. Yeah, I'm going to be asking and getting some verbal feedback. So this is a question from one of our survey material that's located on the FTP website. You can provide your thoughts that will be collected and presented to the steering committee. But today I want to personally track and submit responses to the project team for this one question about needs, about regional and local needs. What regional or local needs should be considered as we update the FTP? That's the question I want your input from. And I don't know if the best way to do this is to wait for people to raise their hand, but I wanted to hear some thoughts from the board today. And if anyone wants to speak up and provide input, feel free. I'll repeat the question, give you a minute to think about it if you need to, but the question is, what regional or local needs should be considered as we update the FTP? So what is most important to you?
So Margie, I think the easiest way to do this is, because it is a question for everybody, is just to do a roll call to go through all of our board members so that they have that opportunity to answer Kurt's question of the local need.
Oh, and okay. Maybe to help out, I'll provide some examples of some feedback we've already gotten. So some people have said need for flexible designs that can accommodate emerging mobility technology, the pressure of rapid development of on infrastructure, safe alternative travel options, and some people just say something as simple as funding. So yeah, any input would be helpful. Continue.
Okay, Mayor, did you want to wrap it up or do you want to go first?
I'll go first and then let everyone go through the roll call. So, you know, my one quick thing, because, you know, I'm on the Transportation Planning Agency, I'm on the Palm Trans Service Board, I went to the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations. I think the biggest need is to put safety instead of speed first, especially on local roads. We installed radar detected speed limit signs, and you know, the different traffic calming measures on the local roads especially, but, you know, on the collector or arterial roads that are FDOT that connect to those local roads, we need to have that coordination between the cities, the counties, and the state where people live. And that's my one item.
Thank you.
So going in order, I don't see that Tomas Boynton joined the meeting. Angela Choice, I'm going to unmute you. You should be able to speak now, Angela.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The only thing I can think of probably is funding.
Thank you.
Jeannie?
Yes, I would agree with the safety and the funding, but I think I'm a little bit obsessed with what's been going on since early March. We need to look very strongly at how we're going to accommodate more vehicles for social distancing that could continue for another year or two or possibly our lifetime. You need to look very seriously into funding for additional vehicles. You cannot social distance, and I don't think social distancing is a temporary thing anymore. I think it's probably going to be a long term, and the fixed route definitely probably needs more buses running and paratransit due to the conditions of our passengers. We're going to need more vehicles, so I'd like to see that looked into strongly.
Thank you.
Lisa? Sorry. Oh, there we go. Lisa, you should be unmuted.
Okay. I agree with everything that's been said, especially considering, you know, this unknown public health world that we're in. But I also think, you know, emphasis always on systems that can better connect low-income neighborhoods and rural areas with employment centers and areas of commerce. You know, we're so spread out, and if we, you know, relied on cars before this pandemic, I can only imagine what it might look like with the need to social distance on more vehicles going forward. And those are areas that, you know, have always just historically had a challenge in such a large geographical area.
Thank you.
Elsa?
Yes?
Okay, you're unmuted. Do you?
Well, technically safety is key. And the other thing that I thought of was with what the gentleman said about adapting different designs for different kind of mobility devices. I think it's crucial. It's not one size fits all.
All right.
And then I have Paula Scott.
Paula, you know, from my perspective, I hear funding a lot, so I was expecting to hear a lot of that. Definitely innovation as well with technology. So looking for more of those type of projects as well.
Thank you.
Robert Goodman.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to this technology yet. The only thing I'm thinking about is when I was on the board in Broward County Transportation Board, I was emphasizing a lot, and I feel here too, we need to talk about less emphasis on highways and more emphasis on mass transit, especially between the three counties. We need to have some way you can get between the three counties more easily. Also, we developed some multimodal systems in Broward County. I'm not sure we had that in Palm Beach County or not. And thirdly, we need to have a paratransit system that really extends between the counties, so that we can get down to even Miami or Broward or throughout the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I'm going to mute you again. Maria Hernandez.
I would agree with funding and safety.
Thank you.
And then Robin Manuel.
Yes, I was thinking about maybe finding some alternative ways for students with disabilities, for them to be able to get to school and back home. And also, maybe more training for bus drivers with soft skills so that they'll know how to interact with persons with disabilities. And that's it.
You're good, Kurt?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Angie Morlock?
Yes, do you think locally, I see one of the biggest obstacles we have are the bridges and the railroad crossings. It's literally getting harder and harder to get to work on time. The delays are much longer, especially with the bridges and the more tourists. Now, I know things are changing right now, but things will come back again, and it's very difficult when you're trying to get ambulances to hospitals and all. So I think a closer look should be at those two, the bridges and the railroad crossings. And the other thing at the regional level is, you know, Florida, you don't go very far to Miami. I mean, now it takes me 4 hours because of traffic. But, you know, the evacuation and the time it takes to go up north has really increased. And we need to look at all the different methods that are used for increasing the lanage in one direction and how that would be implemented. And we need to get ready for that, those sort of circumstances. And I think we need to educate the public too, what changes could be done to the roadway system if there is a hurricane, or if there are, like nowadays, almost every week, there's a major accident on I-95 or the turnpike, and it literally halts up either system for a number of hours and you can't move. And we need to have some alternatives to gear the cars around. I know there's the medium that hasn't been used. It's mostly trees, nice, beautiful mediums farther north. But, you know, we need to get a little more prepared for when we need emergencies, when we need to move the vehicles. That's it.
Thank you.
Next, I have David Rafaitis. Hold on.
Yeah, I agree with everything that everybody's mentioned before, but I'd like to capitalize on something that Lisa said, and I'm not sure how you're going to work it in, but some of the poverty areas or food deserts or even the senior communities, it seems like some additional concentration needs to be made there, not only because of the coronavirus, but it is. It just seems that there's a big gap in how it involves either people's funding or funding for vehicles and stuff like that.
Thank you.
And then Merlene.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about funding and safety, as some other members had mentioned. And due to the COVID-19, I'm thinking about our transportation, public transportation is going to be changing a lot because we have a number of persons who will not be able to afford a motor vehicle, you know, to move around. So what will our public transportation look like? We will have, of course, we'll have our seniors and we'll also have our young adults and then even the younger population trying to access public transportation. So we need to think about funding. What will it look like with public transportation? Also safety, because we're not out of the woods. And as we move forward and as we, you know, move into this phase one that we're now in, but going back, if we have to revert for any reason, if the number changes and COVID-19 situation arises where we're going back up in numbers, what will the public transportation looks like in terms of safety? How will we make sure that our citizens are safe riding on this public transportation? So those are the two areas that I wanted everybody to focus on and think about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Takesha. She may have left the meeting. I'm not seeing her on the list. I just want to double check I'm not missing her. Okay, yes, she did leave the meeting. Okay, then I have Laura.
So I want to echo a lot of what has been said by everybody who commented on the fund, the safety and the funding, and to really focus on the access. This is an enormously large county. It's almost, I think it was 10 square miles less than the state of Delaware in size, and it's very spread out. People are all over the place, and we have, and I work for the school district, we have high schools, large comprehensive high schools that are on roads that are not served by public transportation. And so it's very difficult for us to train students to ride on fixed route buses when there aren't any. And I understand that it is what it is. I understand what we're talking about, but if the state could increase the funding so we could access the entire community and increase that for everybody, I think it would be really beneficial.
Thank you.
And then I have Millery.
Yes. I'm thinking about funding and safety.
Okay. And then I have Nancy Yarnell.
Yes, safe funding, and in a non-COVID-19 world or when things get better, I think we need to encourage our seniors to use public transportation. I think, some education and showing the importance of it, I think they tend not to use it as much as they could. And then I was looking at the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, and there was recommendations in there for coordination about partnerships with transportation network companies such as Uber and Lyft. And I think, the seniors sometimes need that kind of transportation, and if that could be done, that would help too.
Thank you.
And Kurt, that was our last member that's present if you wanted to.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to move forward unless there's, I'll take questions at the end as well. That was really helpful. Thank you, everyone, for providing input. All this input, I guess we can move to our, there we go. We're on the right slide. If you go to floridatransportationplan.com, it's pretty simple to memorize, floridatransportationplan.com, you can fill out, you can provide all sorts of more input on our four different cross-cutting topics and even fill out just a general feedback form. And check out some other material there. But with this input, it's going to all be compiled, summarized, and I'm going to personally input this in a tracking tool, that everything that I heard today I wrote down. So this is all going to go and help the steering committee. The FTP has a 34-member steering committee as well as other subcommittees, and this will help in the drafting of the plan. And the calendar is a little bit up in the air with the situation we're in. But the plan is to have a draft plan in the fall and to have a chance in late fall for some feedback with the first draft of the plan. So I hope to come back, or one of our representatives can come back and even get more feedback from you all for what you would add to the plan, and then a final by the end of the year. And with that, I just want to thank you for your input, because that's really helpful. That's what we're here for. And you can also provide as much input as you would like. Just visiting that floridatransportationplan.com. And with that, I can take any questions. I'll point you to Lois Bush's contact information, which can also be sent out, I suppose. And she is the head at District 4 here for organizing with all of our partners. So Lois Bush would love to hear from you. I'll take any questions or input if we have any right now.
All right. So I guess, Margie, if anyone's raising their hands, I guess they've already meant their comment, but it's more or less how to share the information that we received here with our own agencies. Is kind of, the last slide, they had different events that are coming up. And so that's kind of one of the questions that I have is that will you be providing the local, you know, will they be virtual events, and how do we share your information with our agencies?
Yeah, we've been really trying to figure out what we're doing for those regional workshops. For instance, they were originally planned to obviously be available to the public in person. We've had to change up our plans. Right as of right now, I don't think we have anything solid for the regional workshops yet. But as we get that information, we certainly will share that with all the our MPO partners. And and besides that, on the FloridaTransportationPlan.com website, there are some presentations. It has some of the slides that I presented today. So a lot of the information and material is on there, so it can be accessed, downloaded, including those handouts with some of the trends. So I would say there are materials to share. But besides that, for the public workshops, we will pass that information along as we have solid details.
Thank you.
Mayor, Margie. For the record, there's no public comments that we've received on this matter.
All right, thank you. And does anyone have any final comments for Kurt? All right, seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next informational item is the CTC update. Palm Trans staff will provide an update. The draft presentation is attached. Is Lou Ferrari and Chad Hockman?
We are available. So.
All right.
Yep. So Lou Ferrari and Chad Hockman for Palm Trans. So this is the CTC update for May 13th. So we just want to kind of give you an idea of what's going on. A lot of it is COVID related, but if anybody has any questions, you can stop me or wait till the end. It's up to you. So for the service update, some of this has changed because we did this like 2 weeks ago, but I'll update you with some things. But we've been fare free since March 23rd on fixed route and connection. The number of people on board fixed route has been limited, trying not to have more than 15 passengers on board. The rear door entrance is the only entrance and exit for fixed route. It's taped off area in the front of the bus. The connection, Palm Train Connection, is actually providing the wheelchair trips or anyone that would need the bus to have the ramp out or the bus to kneel and has problems getting on the bus. Connection is actually providing those trips. Service operates a Saturday schedule right now, except on the route 1, 2, 3, 43, and 62, which are on a regular weekday schedule. Sundays continue to operate on Sunday schedule. Ridership has declined about 45% compared to the first week of March on fixed route. And the Go Blade service out west, it now operates as a dial-a-ride system. It used to be a deviated route system where there was routes and it would come off the route and go pick up people curb to curb. Now it's a dial-a-ride where anyone out in the Glades can actually call our number and we will dispatch a vehicle to them and take them to their destination. Ridership has increased since over the past couple weeks. We are planning on fixed route to go full service on May 18th. And masks are now required to ride on the fixed route. So on the connection side, Palm Train Connection is providing essential trips only. We did open, obviously the county opened on Monday. We are still promoting essential trips. However, if someone wants to book a trip to, you know, a hair salon and it's open or something that's open, we will take them there. But because of the capacity issues that the restaurants and retail has, we still say we're concentrating on essential trips. On-time performance has averaged over 98% right now. However, our passengers per hour is under one. Average weekday ridership is less than about a third the regular ridership. We were at about 1,000 trips each weekday, up to 1,100. Now we're up to about 1,300 a week, weekday, as the weeks have progressed. With less traffic and no school, the drivers have found it much easier to, you know, traverse around the county. We're no longer multi-loading on the vehicle. So the goal is one passenger per trip. There might be some trips where there might be two, but we are practicing social distancing if so. The amount of routes on the road is about 75% the regular daily total to achieve the productivity and also keep the drivers working. So it was an important thing for us and Chad to work with our providers to try and keep those drivers working and keep everybody out there. We also are requiring masks on the paratransit on Palm Train Connection. Masks are required. We are also changing the capacity on the buses for social distancing. So what that means is earlier we talked about buses and like a 6-passenger, 2-wheelchair. We're looking at it now to possibly be a 2-passenger ambulatory with 1 or 2 wheelchairs, or a 12-passenger ambulatory, 2-wheelchair might turn into a 3-ambulatory and 1, which causes problems with if we do start opening up and the HAP centers or the senior centers start opening. Right now there's no school, obviously. We're going to have a hard time meeting the capacity with social distancing to actually serve all the customers that we might have to. Right now we're looking at it in our current configuration that we can probably handle around 1,800 to 2,000 trips a day. Remember, we usually do about 4,500 trips a day. So it's kind of scary to think about that. Next slide. So buses are thoroughly cleaned every night and periodically throughout the day. So the fixed route buses, as well as the paratransit buses, each night are thoroughly cleaned, CDC recommendations, all like that. Also throughout the day, we have, Palmtran has actually hired a professional cleaning service that's strategically placed around the county. There's, for instance, the Gardens Mall, the outlets, the intermodal, and other areas along the large routes. And in between the routes, the fixed routes are getting cleaned, and also the paratransit vehicles can come through there as well and get cleaned. All drivers, they have masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, wipes. They distribute to all the frontline workers. We've actually gone above and beyond what most transit agencies that we've talked to or that are our peers. We are really, really, knock on wood. We actually have been lucky that we haven't had anything going on as far as serious COVID cases. We've kind of stepped on everything really fast to make sure that sanitation is happening, making sure everyone is safe. We really, every day, Palmtran, as an agency, has 2 calls. There's a call in the morning and a call in the afternoon to discuss anything that's come out throughout the day, any ideas that we could have. We really are investing a lot of money in keeping things safe, and so far it's been successful. Let's see, social distancing is also practiced within our offices when possible, so employees, if possible, are working remotely. So overall, this has actually resulted in a very positive customer response, and that riders are happy and feel we're providing safe and we're providing that social distancing. And one addition, deliveries, we are delivering meals to seniors, helping the Division of Senior Services and the areas on aging. Today we deliver close to 2,000 cold meals to seniors throughout the county, as well as some shelf-stable meals throughout the weeks as well. So I think that's well, the next one is our other activities. Connection, I think you can go to the next slide. Okay, so our efficiency project, connection efficiency project, is still moving forward. Right now we're focusing on that eligibility component. We have a weekly call with the consultant, and we're moving forward with at this time we've kind of pivoted with the in-person assessments to kind of go more with on in the phone, you know, from the phone assessments. As it is mentioned today, the fixed route and connection and just public transportation in general is really going to change for a long time. So we're really looking at how we're going to respond to that. As Mr. Goodman said, bus route 91 added 2 new stops at 13th Street and Meadows Road, so that's good. And I just did a short TD complaint now because I thought this would be a long meeting. But for February, there were 32 raw complaints, 12 were valid. March, 9 raw complaints with 2 valid. Most of them are complaints as discourteous, late drop-off, or late pickup. So if anybody has any questions.
Any questions from...
I don't have any public comments on this. I don't see any questions. I will unmute Robert Goodman just because he's calling in and isn't able to do that himself, I believe.
Thank you. I want to thank Palmtran for finally, responding to my request and advocacy for those 2 bus stops at near the Boca Regional Hospital. It's really going to be a big need once we start using the buses again. It just shows that advocacy can work, and I think it's an important thing to let even our consumers know in each of our agencies that it's important to be a good self-advocate. So I thank you, Lou and Palm Tran, both for helping me out with that.
You're welcome.
No problem.
All right. Thank you. Would anyone else like to have any questions or comments regarding the CTC update? Seeing none, we're going to move on to the partner agency updates. Is anyone from the South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, FDOT, and Palm Beach County to provide any updates? Margie, is there anyone else here?
I don't see anybody else from those agencies that wants to make a comment.
All right. And now we'll open it up to member comments. And so similar to the way we did it with Kurt, just to have the roll call, but this time I'll go last.
Okay. So I'm going to call it in the opposite order just so it's easier. Okay. Nancy, you're now. I'm going to unmute you. Do you have any comments?
I'm sorry. I don't know what the comment section is for.
This is administrative items, so towards the end of each meeting, I know this is your first meeting, we allow anybody who would like to speak on from one of the members to the other members, because this is a sunshine meeting. You don't have the ability to speak to anyone else on this board outside of this meeting regarding any sort of advocacy that you plan on doing or would like to do or anything that you see or would like to make the board and staff aware of.
Can I come next to last? I pass now.
Yes.
But if I hear more about what's going on, I might have a thought.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
All right, Mallory, do you have any comments? Sorry, it's just Mallory, for some reason, I'm not able to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. I think we're fighting each other on that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I don't have any.
All right, thank you.
Laura, do you have any comments? No. Takesha, I believe, yes, she did leave the meeting. Marlene, did you have any comments?
Just wanted to say that I didn't get the opportunity to write on the transportation. It was during the time, you know, when COVID was just getting on board. So I missed that opportunity. I wish I had the opportunity to ride and then to be a part of the survey. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that. So no other comment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
David, do you have any comments?
Yes. Number one, congratulations, Mayor. Big part of your life there. The second is I'd like to also welcome Ms. Yarnell. She is obviously a subject matter expert in senior services, and I know she'll be an extremely valuable resource to us.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Angie Morlock. Do you have any comments? Oh, I don't think it unmuted you.
Okay, here I am. Okay. First off, I want to thank everybody. This is a wonderful way to have a meeting if you have to. This is my first. So I'm like, whoa, you know, impressed. But thank you. It's a very good meeting and excellent. There is one thing that I noticed, and it's a safety system plan. It was in the package, but it was never addressed, and I don't remember seeing any changes to it or anything. I think it was just part of the service plan. But the thing I do remember is it was signed off when I was still working, which is a long time ago. And I think it needs to be, like, updated maybe in the near future, at least the next go-around for this service plan, especially with everything that's going on now. I would think there should be some changes and everything into that plan. It's usually just a small plan attached to the service plan, I think, a part of it or whatever. But that probably should be addressed in the near future. But otherwise, it was a great meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And so, Alyssa, did you get? Yeah, thank you.
So the SSPP or Safety Service Plan is something that is done as part of the CTC evaluation or required. It is part of the TDSP as well. But when I complete the CTC evaluation workbook on my end, I go to PalmTran and give them a giant list of all of the documents I need copies of. And that was one of the documents that actually has not been updated since the last CTC evaluation. I believe the date on it was 14. Okay. A different document was 2017. So, I'm not sure when PalmTran Connection does plan on, re-updating their safety service plan, but I just have whatever document that they still have that is in effect. So if they have not updated it, I don't have it. That's still the one that's in service. So as soon as, you know, they do update it, we will have it updated in our TDSP, or Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, and will also be included in our next CTC evaluation.
Right. I would have thought that the changes, the with the vehicles, the cleanliness, and everything to avoid the spread of the disease would have been in that section. It's in the body. I mean, it's in the service plan and everything, so that's great. But I think some of that should be in here, maybe.
This is Lou, if I can.
Yes, please.
So the system service safety plan is updated every year. I think what they're talking about is there's an SSPP certification. That's something right. That like FDOT does and things like that. They haven't come around to do that. We update it every year. So that's constantly changing, especially with hurricane season, with everything that goes on here. So the SSPP, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Angie, but that's just something where there's a lot of things in this workbook that are kind of archaic and old that hasn't really been updated. We'll respond to some of the things, but like working with the wages, we do work with them, but that's not the way it's written, or school buses. We're never going to be able to work with school buses here in Palm Beach County, but it's still something they have to look at. So that SSPP certification, they don't really even do that anymore.
They don't? Okay.
Not that specific way. We submitted SSPP and all that. It's just not in that manner. So, but we'll respond to you so you understand a little bit better. But I just want to make sure you understand that there is an SSPP that's updated every year, constantly updated. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And did we receive a copy of that in the backup?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. All right, Margie, you want to go to the next board member? Okay.
The next one I have is Robin Manuel.
Robin. No comment. No comment.
Okay. Then I have Maria Hernandez.
No comment.
Robert Goodman.
Just that we might not be here in August unless we do a Zoom meeting, of course, which would be great for me, because I'll be upstate New York with the cool weather while you guys suffer down here in warm weather. I didn't receive any of the documents for this meeting. I especially would like to receive the survey results.
Robert, I believe I put it in the email, and I would have to double check that. But at this time, we were not mailing anything out to any of our committee or board members.
Oh,
and that's across
okay.
all of them, just as a way to limit any outside contact for our.
All right. Can you email me the survey results, please?
Yes.
I appreciate that.
I will have Alyssa send that to you.
Mayor Grant, I'm sorry I missed the very beginning of the meeting, but what are we congratulating you?
Me and my wife had a daughter 6 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for.
Next, I have Paula Scott. Try it again, Paula. There you go.
All right. Yeah, I think we were probably on mute in the same time. It was a pleasure filling in for Marie. I learned a lot. I was actually representing FDOT years ago. I think probably 12 years ago in this capacity. So it's great to, you know, listen in again. And this Zoom meeting, I think, was very successful. Angie, you said it's your first. I couldn't tell. So thanks a lot for the information, guys. I really enjoyed this meeting.
All right, thank you.
So next I have Elsa DeGoy. Hold on, I'll say you're muted. There you go.
I have no major comments, just saying thank you for the meeting and everyone stay safe.
And then I have Elisa Kramer. Oh, Elisa, I think I muted you when you unmuted yourself. There you go.
No comments, just ditto, Elsa. Everybody stay safe.
Jeannie?
I did want to comment. I want to recognize the transportation workers. When you watch the TV and the news, they do the grocery store workers, they do everybody, but my drivers and my utility people and First Transit's drivers, utility people, fixed routes, transit drivers, utility people, road soups, they're all coming in under very difficult situations and concerns for their families. I have a driver that has a 92-year-old mother that's kind of afraid to come to work. The attendance is actually better than it is before the virus. I used to have maybe 5-6 drivers call off a day. Now it's 2-3. You know, our drivers are not terribly high paid, but they're coming to work every day. They're very brave. And I think our transportation workers, including the utility people that are doing all the extra cleaning every night, should be recognized as heroes as well.
Thank you, Jeannie, for that recognition. And I guess, you know, is there something that the Transportation Planning Agency can do to recognize all the people in transportation? Alyssa? You're still muted.
I had to unmute myself. I'm not sure, but that is something I can definitely find out and get back to everyone on.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, next I have Angela Choice.
Congratulations, Mayor. Can you hear me? Yes.
I can hear you.
Okay, no issues.
All right. Thank you.
Tomas is not present. And then just to circle back, Nancy, I'm not sure if you have any comments now.
No, I don't. No comments, but congratulations, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, I'd like to echo what Jeannie said, is that everyone who's doing their part to make sure that everyone is safe. This is, you know, a pandemic, and nobody alive really remembers what happened the last time. You see I saw the articles from, you know, Lake Worth back in 1918, and we're in, you know, phase one right now, so that does not mean it is over. And so I just want to make sure that everyone stays safe, washes their hand, wears masks, and, you know, make sure that you're not jeopardizing yourself or anyone around you. So if there's nothing else, I think double check. Our next meeting is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. I just wanted to double check the time. Would it be at 1:30 or 2 o'clock?
It will be held at 2 o'clock, and also I will send out an email with the schedule and calendar of all next year's meetings.
All right.
Shortly.
All right. Thank you. All right. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Chair, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Wait, I believe there is a bottom part of your script that I need you to read.
All the way at the bottom?
Yes.
Nope, didn't come into the come in. So, Margie, do you have the script?
Yes. So for
would
our
you mind
next
reading
meeting,
it?
No,
yeah.
Without mine. Bear with me while I pull it up. But for our next meeting, as we are still in this COVID-19 process, we have a prepared script that we're going to read. Hold on.
I have it up, Margie.
Yeah, go ahead, Alyssa.
Okay. Our next LCB meeting is scheduled for July 29th, 2020, and we will provide information in the near future regarding where and how that meeting will be conducted. Thank you for your patience with us as we conducted our first virtual LCB meeting today. At this time, our meeting is adjourned.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone.